The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Y'all will turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. King Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes after he had been king over Israel for about 35 years or so. The tenor of this book is very different than Proverbs and Song of Solomon. You'll notice that the wisest man in the world, save Jesus Christ, starts out this book and it's pretty depressing. The words, he says, the words of the preacher. That word here means assembler. He's gathering together this knowledge. The son of David, king of Jerusalem. But what I want you to notice is verse 2. Y'all notice in the scriptures times when, I know that it's been pointed out before by preachers in the past, that when in the scriptures things are repeated, verily, verily, I say unto you, you know, pay special attention to that. I want you to notice that at the beginning of this book, King Solomon, who has now been a king over Israel for 3.5 decades, you know, he wrote Proverbs, and we see all the wisdom there. He wrote Song of Solomon, that beautiful book, as a young man. And now he also has 3.5 decades as one of the most earthly, glorious kings that's ever lived.
Right.
So he comes down to, and he writes this book. And my question to you is, why? Why does he write this book? What is he trying to teach us? Because in verse 2 he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said it 5 times.
Yeah.
Not 2, he said it 5 times.
That's right.
The word means emptiness. And you understand that this is the wisest man that's ever been, save Jesus Christ.
Right.
As he comes and he writes this book after 35 years of being king over Israel, he's trying to tell us something. Vanity of vanities. Emptiness. Emptiness, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which taketh under the sun? Brother Josh, what's the purpose of this book? I had to write this down. I believe Solomon's purpose in writing this book. There's several things I want to point out to you this morning very quickly. But the first is he wants to dismantle our affection for the things of this world and point us to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, just as an Old Testament book. How is he pointing to Jesus Christ? Do y'all know that King Solomon... Wow. Brothers and sisters, you cannot find happiness apart from the Lord, okay?
Amen.
You cannot find fulfillment and contentment apart from the Lord. If you don't believe me, read this book.
Right.
This man was the perfect scenario. He was anointed king over Israel. He had position, he had power, he had fame, he had wealth beyond measure. He was a born-again Christian, by the way,
right,
a child of God, as it were.
That's true.
And he had wisdom, supernatural wisdom, beyond measure that other people didn't have. And yet, in one aspect of his life, he still messed up.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Are you and I going to do better than he did? Why does he write this book? Learn from me. That you will not find satisfaction and happiness in the things of this world apart from Christ.
Amen.
Because this is not our home.
Amen.
It's not our home. Y'all please pray for me. I don't want to fail the lesson today. Let's read just a few verses and we'll go through this quickly. So he says in verse 2, vanity of vanities, emptiness, and exceeding emptiness beyond measure, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And again, he's talking about our works apart from the Lord as we try to find fulfillment and joy and contentment in the things of this world, no matter what you try to fill it with. What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. We're going to die.
That's right.
The sun also rises and the sun goeth down and hastens to the place where he rose. There's going to be another day that rolls on. Mm-hmm. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. Just keeps on going. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. They never fill up.
Right.
You're not. Brother, sister, and again, he's using all these different points to show us that you're not going to be satisfied.
Amen.
He says in verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear filled with hearing. A couple things. Literally, this life is a struggle, okay, all the time. We get that.
Right.
But when he says all things are full of labor, do y'all know that even when we sleep, our bodies are working?
Amen.
I mean, we're just going, going, going all the time until we die, right?
Right.
It never stops. And until we get to heaven, we're not going to be satisfied, and the labor's not going to end. Do you know that, think about, he uses the illustration here of the eye and the ear. If you and I wanted to plant a garden and feed ourselves, that takes a little bit more labor, right? How hard is it to look at something? Not very. How hard is it to hear something? Not very. But do you know that the eye is not satisfied? I want to go see Yellowstone one day. I would love to go to Israel one day. The eye is never satisfied.
That's right.
I mean, my mother loves flowers, you know, and I even think about it in my mind, you know, there. Here's a little side note. Do y'all know that God makes beautiful things that man doesn't even see?
Right.
Why would he make beautiful bromeliads grow in the middle of the most distant rainforest, high up in a tree, 100 feet up in the canopy, and no man will ever lay his eyes on that, and that beautiful spray of flowers is born, and it is to God's glory, right, of the Creator, and it dies, and no man ever lays eyes on that. To God be the glory.
Amen.
But you know, the eye is never satisfied, and we don't have to work hard to see. And the ear is never satisfied, we don't have to work hard to hear. Solomon is trying to show us that you're not going to be satisfied here in this world.
Amen.
Now, so what's his purpose in this book? He's trying to show us that this is not our home. Well, Brother Josh, why would he start out writing this book after he's been king over Israel for all these years? And what is the lesson that he's trying to show us? Vanity of vanities. It just seems so discouraging. This man had supernatural wisdom from the Lord, yet there was one thing that crept in unawares in his life. If you go back to 1 Kings, and you read in verse 11 that he took many wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And by the way, he did that because it was a practice of kings at that time to intermarry with other kingdoms so as to promote peace. That was kind of a common practice. But the Lord had already told him, don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. But he did that. So all in this book, if you read through it in Ecclesiastes, he talks about all these things that he experimented with, wine and this thing and that thing, and you can go read it for yourself. But there was one thing that just kind of flew up under the radar for him. And all of these wives led his affection away from the Lord. And you can go read about that in 1 Kings chapter 11.
Right.
But Josh, what's your point? This man is writing to us to warn us.
Amen.
And he's writing to us to say, in this life, you're not going to be satisfied in this world, but there is something you can be satisfied with. It's Christ.
Amen.
One of the things that he writes in this book to show us is the absolute necessity of true religion and of worshiping God. He says at the end of this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, y'all are probably familiar, it's probably been quoted a lot. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he said, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Skip over to verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the master's assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books, there is no end, and much study of weariness of the flesh. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's right.
Yeah. Why are y'all here today? Y'all aren't here to hear me or any other preacher. That's better than me, because they all are, but we're here to meet with God, to meet with Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
Do you know that Christ's kingdom is not like the kingdoms of the world? It's eternal.
Right.
It's never ending. You know, Solomon in this book wanted to prove to us that in this world we won't be satisfied with the thing. By the way, if you go back and read 1 Kings, you can see the glory of Solomon's kingdom. He had 20,000, no, I believe it was 40,000 stables for horses. 40,000. 12,000 chariot men. His provision for one day to eat was beyond measure. You know, when the Queen of Sheba came and saw his grandeur, she said, the story was told me and I didn't believe it. So apparently somebody had come to Solomon's kingdom and had seen it, and they told the Queen of Sheba, and she said, I didn't believe the story when it came to my ears, but when she came and actually saw it for herself, she said, the half wasn't told me.
Amen.
But you understand, this is the man who was wealthier than every other king, wiser than every other king, was not satisfied with the things of this world. He said, it's not about this world.
Amen.
Why does he write this book? He was the perfect test subject. He had youth, he had wisdom, he had fame, he had power, he had wealth. He had everything you could imagine. He wasn't satisfied with things of this world.
Right.
So what's he trying to tell us in his book? It's not about this world.
Amen.
It's about Christ. It's about focusing on him. It's about his kingdom. Let me give you another example. How about Paul in the New Testament? Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He was a rising star among the Pharisees, right? And after the Lord got a hold of him, he went from being famous and wealthy in that sense, you know, to abused, beaten, run out of town, ridiculed, imprisoned, scoffed. But yet, he was fulfilled.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
He had joy in his life. Why? Because it wasn't about this earthly kingdom anymore. It was about the heavenly kingdom that he was focused on.
Amen.
I would encourage you to go back and read the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you think that you can find satisfaction and joy and fulfillment in anything outside the Lord, you can't. Why is that? Because brothers and sisters, we're spiritual, right?
Right.
We're not of the earth, earthly. Now, yes, we do have two natures. And as these brothers pointed out, yes, we have a propensity to sin. Our old flesh loves that. It wants that. It's gravitated toward that. So how do we overcome that? We feed upon this all the time, right? And we starve our old nature to slam to death. Lord, help us to do that. Brothers and sisters, our born-again spiritual nature that the Lord has implanted within us, it is not satisfied with anything outside of Christ himself.
Amen.
That's why we're here today.
Amen.
To worship Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when you and I get our cart off in the ditch because we go looking for things of this world, we're going after the wrong thing.
Amen.
It's all about him.
That's right.
So on the one hand, while we will not and cannot find fulfillment in an earthly world because we are spiritual beings, we can find that joy and satisfaction in Christ. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15, and we'll close. In John chapter 15, you'll see these are the words of Christ. He says, beginning in verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to do nothing. And I don't want you to do nothing. Do you want to be successful in this world? I'm not talking about in the sense of money. I'm talking about in the sense of, do you want to have a godly home? By the way, the definition of true success in this world is Christ-likeness.
Amen.
That is the definition of success according to the Bible. Is that not right?
Amen.
Well, if you want to be Christ-like, then you and I need to abide in the vine.
Amen.
We're not going to find that in the world, right? Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth, the branch is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Fear the Lord and obey his commandments. So this is the whole duty of man. Those words, brothers and sisters, this right here is of the utmost importance in mind in your life. How many Bibles do you and I have in our house? A bunch, don't we? I'm a preacher. I got a collection of Bibles, okay? But you know, my problem is not the Bibles. The problem is I need to read just the one over and over and over again.
Amen.
Way more than I already do.
Amen.
Do y'all know that a lot of times we as Printed Baptists, brothers and sisters, just hunger for more truth, more truth, more truth. Well, the Lord wants us just to be obedient to the truth we already have.
Amen.
Is that not right? That's my problem. I hunger, oh, more truth, more truth, more truth. And God's saying, Josh, you just be obedient to the truth you already have. You hadn't even done a jam-up job that yet. You fail that lesson pretty good already. You need to start over and try again. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in your love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When we're doing the work of the Lord, when we are focusing on Him, when we are going after the person of Jesus Christ, that's where our joy comes from. That's where fulfillment comes from, where contentment comes from. It does not come from all the things in this world. You can try, brothers and sisters, as hard as you want, and you will not be fulfilled by the things of this world. It is a void. It is an emptiness. You will only find contentment in Him. These things, Christ said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, Christ's joy, might remain in you. Don't you want some of His joy?
Amen.
Don't you and I need some of His joy in this fallen world that you and I live in? That is supernatural joy.
Amen.
We might be impressed by King Solomon's grandeur and even the wisdom that he had. Brothers and sisters, he can keep that. I just want some of Christ's joy.
Amen.
In this world. And I'm thankful to have it here with you, brothers and sisters, today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. And that your joy might be full. The things of this earth, earthly, will never satisfy the Spirit.
Right.
Only the things of the Lord. We are here, as Brother David said, to meet with Christ. Mm-hmm. To Him be the glory. May you and I have our eyes on Him all the days of our life. By the way, that's how Peter walked on water, wasn't it?
Right. Amen.
We can overcome all those things the world sends us. Brothers, thank you for your time.
Amen.
You.
Amen. Yeah.
We thank you for listening to today's message, and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.